I'm going to read to you two verses from Isaiah chapter 9. First of all, here's verse 2 from the New International Reader's Version. The people who are now living in darkness will see a great light. They are now living in a very dark land, but a light will shine on them. Now for verses 6 and 7. A son will be given to us. He will rule over us, and he will be called a Wonderful Advisor and Mighty God. He will also be called Father who lives forever, and Prince who brings peace. There will be no limit to how great his authority is. The peace he brings will never end. He will rule on David's throne and over his kingdom. He will make the kingdom strong and secure. His rule will be based on what is fair and right. It will last forever. The Lord's great love will make sure that happens. He rules over all.
Luke 1, verse 26 to 38. In the sixth month after Elizabeth had become pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. He was sent to a virgin. The girl was engaged to a man named Joseph. He came from the family line of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel greeted her and said, "The Lord has blessed you in a special way. He is with you." Mary was very upset because of his words. She wondered what kind of greeting this could be, but the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. God is very pleased with you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son. You must call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king like his father David of long ago. The Son of the Most High God will rule forever over his people. Therefore, the family line of David, that kingdom will never end." "How can this happen?" Mary asked the angel. "I'm a virgin," the angel answered. "The Holy Spirit will come to you. The power of the Most High God will cover you. So the Holy One that is born will be called Son of God. Your relative Elizabeth will have a child, even though she is old. People thought she could never have children, but she has been pregnant for 6 months now. That's because what God says will come always come true." "I serve the Lord," Mary answered. "May it happen to me just as you say it would." Then the angel left her.
Hi, my name's Mark, and I'm really pleased that you can join us for our online carol service this year. I wonder if you have any Christmas traditions in your family. I wonder what your favourite traditions are. Those things that happen once a year, maybe they last for a week and they never appear again during the year until the following Christmas. One of my favourites, and perhaps one of the strangest that happens in my family, maybe you relate to this as well, is that growing up, my mum always bought in some nuts like walnuts or hazelnuts or Brazil nuts in a little netted bag every Christmas. And these would be put in a bowl and a nutcracker would be placed next to them. But if any of us took the nutcracker and went to crack some of those nuts, my mum would come in and go, no, they're not for breaking, they're not for eating, they're just there for show. And we'd all kind of shrug our shoulders and go, okay, mum, whatever. And those nuts would be left, and then sometime, sort of late January, they would be swept up and put into the bin, never to be seen again until the following December. I wonder what your favourite traditions are. You know, it got me thinking, behind all these traditions and behind all these things that we do every year at Christmas, what is the real meaning of Christmas? Behind all the tinsel and the food and the booze and the presents, why is it that we celebrate Christmas? What is Christmas in a nutshell? And so I want us to reflect on that just for a few moments together to try and get to the heart of Christmas, to try and get to the true meaning. And Christmas, in a nutshell, is this: that God showed up. Now, on that first Christmas, born in that manger, God showed up. And the true meaning of Christmas and the greatest news of Christmas is that God doesn't socially distance, that he came close to each one of us. There's a great verse in the Bible, and it puts it this way. It says this: when the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. That says it all, doesn't it? That God came close. He became human like you and me. That's the wonder of Christmas. That's the good news of Christmas, that the creator of the universe showed up. That's Christmas in a nutshell. And that's why you and I are tuned in today. That's why we're doing this online carol service, to celebrate that news. It's a bit strange though, isn't it? Celebrating a birthday in this way. We don't do this for other people's birthdays, do we? We don't retell the details of the pregnancy. We don't retell in great detail the details of the birth once a year on somebody's birthday. We don't sing many, many songs about the person and about how they were born and why they were born. You know, my birthday is coming up next month in January. I'm not going to meet up with my family and sing, "Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn Mark." Maybe we should. It rhymes, after all. We don't do that, but we do this for Jesus's birthday. And the reason we do this is because we're celebrating much more than just the birth of a baby. In a nutshell, Christmas is God showing up, coming close to the world that he created, seeing that the world was in a mess and deciding to do something about it. In a nutshell, the story of Christmas is that God showed up to come and rescue us.
Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus made a law. It required that a list be made of everyone in the whole Roman world. It was the first time a list was made of the people while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to their own town to be listed. So Joseph went also. He went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea. That is where Bethlehem, the town of David, was. Joseph went there because he belonged to the family line of David. He went there with Mary to be listed. Mary was engaged to him. She was expecting a baby. While Joseph and Mary were there, the time came for the child to be born. She gave birth to her first baby. It was a boy. She wrapped him in large strips of cloth. Then she placed him in a manger. That's because there was no guest room where they could stay.
Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognise him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by vast hosts of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. When the angel had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby, lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
So if you remember earlier, we thought about what Christmas is in a nutshell, what the real truth of Christmas is. And we said this, that the truth is of Christmas in a nutshell, that God showed up to rescue us. Now in the last few minutes, some of you might have been thinking, well that's great Mark, but I don't need rescuing. I'm fine just the way I am. I don't need rescuing. Well, you know, the truth is, I think that each one of us does need rescuing. Let me try and help you to understand that. You see, in the beginning, when God created the world, humanity and God had perfect communication. It paints a picture at the start of the Bible of God even walking with man and having just perfect relationship and a perfect communication with him. But as we often do, humans thought they knew best, decided to do things their own way, decided they didn't need God, decided to ignore his advice. And what the Bible tells us is in that moment, the relationship between humanity and God was broken. The word, the blunt word, if you like, the Bible uses for this, is that sin broke the relationship between God and man. Sin just means missing the mark, not doing what we should do. Sin breaks that connection between us and God, and worse still, there is nothing we're told that humanity can do to mend that broken connection. But the good news is that God didn't want to leave it that way. He wanted that connection to be restored. And so as we saw in those verses we looked at earlier, God became human and stayed human. And he came to earth to mend this problem between God and man. He came as fully God, the Bible says, and fully man, so that he could do that. But he didn't stay a baby born in a manger. We're told in the Bible that Jesus grew up. He was a boy, he was a teenager, he was a man. And as he was a man, at the age of 33, the Bible tells us that he was nailed to a cross. He was killed by the authorities at the time. But at that moment, we're told that Jesus took that sin, all that sin that breaks our relationship with God, into his body. And as Jesus died, so did the power of sin. And our relationship with God was restored. It means the connection can be made again. As in that moment, God is able to forgive us. Forgiveness feels good, doesn't it? If you've messed up, if you've screwed up and somebody forgives you, it feels good to know that you can start again. And at that moment, as Jesus died and 3 days later he came back to life, humanity could know what it was to be forgiven by God. It's just what we needed. You know, if we had needed technology, God would have showed up as a scientist. If our greatest need had been for information and knowledge, God would have showed up as a teacher. If our greatest need had been for money, God would have come as an economist. If our greatest need had been for pleasure, God would have showed up as an entertainer. But your greatest need, my greatest need, was for forgiveness. We needed rescuing. And so God showed up as a saviour. A saviour who could reconnect you and I with God. And the good news is, all you and I need to do is to say yes, is to accept that offer of reconnection. And we can have a relationship with God again. That's Christmas in a nutshell. Now, God showed up to rescue us. And why? Because he loves us. He couldn't just stand back and allow the world to go on its own. He wanted to be reconnected with us. Now again, some of you might be watching this and you might be thinking, well Mark, if you knew how I've sinned, if you knew what I've done wrong, you would know that I can't be forgiven. Some of you might be thinking, Mark, I've screwed up too much, I've blown it too much, I can't be forgiven. Some of you might be thinking, well, you tell me God loves me, but I'm just unlovable. You know, the price that Jesus paid, the act of him dying and giving his life for us on the cross is the greatest action of love the world has ever known. Showing up to die in that way. The greatest act of love. And nobody is beyond God's forgiveness. Nobody has gone too far. Nobody's done anything too bad. Nobody's unlovable, according to God. So how do we make this reconnection with God? There's three things that you can do today to know what it is to be reconnected with God. The first one is this, is to admit that you've done some stuff that is wrong. Admit that you've led your life your own way. To say, I need rescuing. The second thing that you can do is to commit. Is to say thank you to Jesus for what he's done for you. That he showed up, that he came to rescue you, and commit to giving your life to him. And the third thing you can do is to submit, is to say, come and be part of my life again. I want to reconnect with you. I've blown it. You've come to rescue me. And so now I give my life back to you. I submit to you. I want to live my life for you. It's a new start. New start sounds really good at the moment, doesn't it? You know, so many of us are looking at 2021 and going, hey, it's going to be better. It's going to be better than 2020. Where a new start can be here for you today. Just with those three things, just admitting, committing, and submitting to Jesus. You know, so many of us, when we think of Christmas, we think of the presents, we think of the tree, we think of the food and the booze and a bit more food and maybe a bit more booze. We think about carols. Maybe we even think about a baby being born in a manger. That's a good starting place. But don't get stuck on the start line. Don't just let it stay there. Christmas, in a nutshell, the truth of it is that God showed up. He showed up to rescue us because he loves us. Today, you can move on from that place. You can start a new life with God. It's there. It's the best Christmas present you will have this year.